Our text today is in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, if you want to look that up, find it on your device. Luke 10. We're going to talk on Communion Sunday. This is the plan for the coming months about the devoted life. And what does that mean for having devotion? That title you've given to time alone with God, having devotions, for having devotions, having devotions. How do we hear from and listen to God and then know what to do? In March of 2000, my dad found himself in the hospital for a week. He was quite sick. One day he looked over to see the man in the next bed just laying there and looking at him, that bed. And next to that man was the man's wife, sitting in a chair, a tear rolling down her face. And Dad said, "I was moved with compassion because at that point I understood weakness." He knew that the man had had a stroke and couldn't speak to his wife. He was moved and prompted to get out of bed and go over to them. He said to the man's wife, "Would it be all right if I pray with you?" And she quickly consented. And he prayed simply that God would restore the man's speech and his words so that he may speak with his dear wife. Next morning, he awakened and he looked over to see the man, and he said to him, "How are you this morning?" And immediately, the man said, "I had the best night I've had in a long time." At that moment, the male nurse had entered the room and said, "That's the first time he's said anything in 2 months." That day, that gentleman was put to a different ward. But before my dad was released from the hospital, he asked the nurse what's happening. He said he's continuing to re-engage in the language skill and conversation to the point. Dad was quick to say, "It's not me. I did nothing except just listen to the prompting from the Spirit of God. God touched that man. He gets all the glory." Now, that's a pretty dramatic story about hearing from God and responding. Most are not prompts to pray for someone's dramatic feeling. Most are about simple, everyday things. In fact, I clipped an article from a magazine a while ago about helping families listen to God in daily life. And they named these simple principles. First, create an atmosphere for listening. Turn off the television, maybe unplug Wi-Fi, get away from it. Just be quiet for a bit. Then pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak. And if there's something specific, one of the family, one of the children wants to hear God about, be specific about it. And third, acknowledge different personalities. Some people want to stay together. One individual might want to go be by herself. And then fourth, don't rush it. Take some time. But when you reassemble, ask the children, what did you hear? And if something comes out that is way off base scripturally, gently talk about that and say, "I think we need to listen a little more." Because it can't contradict God's word. And finally, don't be discouraged if you don't
hear anything. It takes time to learn to hear, and God promise in His time. Listen. So today we're talking about what to do if you do nothing else. What do you do if you do nothing else? You begin this journey about devoted life and devotion. So we're going to show up with Jesus and just go into Martha's house. Here we are at the door. Hello. And Martha, let's just see. Distractions we learn can smother devotion. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. Martha was the sister who welcomed him in. Presumably, in that culture, she was the oldest in the family, the oldest sibling. So she did the hosting, welcoming Jesus in. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Now, this was a posture of the learner, the disciple. Liefeld, the scholar, tells us in that culture at that time, very unusual for a teacher, a rabbi, to allow or even invite a woman to sit at his feet, the posture of the disciple. But this was not. Martha was distracted by the big dinner. It's an interesting thing that's happening here. And I want to do a little disclaimer for those who have great administrative gifts. This is not condemnation. We'll learn why. A great servant gift. The Greek text behind what we've translated here uses the word diakonia. She was doing acts of service. It's the same word from which they took the word deacon. It means serving tables. That's what the deacons were to do in Jerusalem. Serve tables. And so we see this act of service being settled at the Last Supper with his disciples. With Judas, the betrayer, present, Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over people. Yet, they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves, the host, Jesus. So serving is the normal life of the disciple of Jesus. But Martha was distracted by her service, distracted by preparing the big dinner. Now note that we might rightly assume that the need Mary and Martha really had was to sit and listen to Jesus. And at the same time, though, you may not acknowledge that what Jesus really desired was just to pour his life and truth into them. That was so much more important to him than the banquet. Just time. Just time. Speaking into their lives. It's important to listen before we lead. To listen before we lead, before we begin something, before we start doing something, before we start serving. We emphasize hospitality if we will continue to. It takes some time. Look over the next month. When might you have some people over? In a month, it might be one evening that works for some people. Give it a try. Hospitality is important. It's part of being a disciple. But the core of hospitality is the presence of Jesus. Always. He's the biggest person in the room. And so you listen before you lead. Listen to Jesus. Mary had cultivated the emotional habit of being quiet and listening to Jesus and showing affection for him. A bit later, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was Mary who poured expensive perfume on his feet and wiped them with her hair. She was just out there with her love for Jesus and her attentiveness to him. But distraction smothered devotion. We've told this little story before of the family that invited a bunch of people in. And it was kind of frenetic and frenzied. The time came, everybody arrived, it was time for dinner, and they sat down. And the mom says to one of the children, "Honey, why don't you say the blessing and you thank God for the food?" And the child said, "Well, I don't know what to say." And the mom said, "Well, just say what you've heard me say." "Okay," she said, "Oh Lord, why did God invite so many people?" This is not the emotional response Mary's having to the presence of Jesus. See, the distractions can smother devotion. And hospitality is not meant to be that way. It's come as you are, we're here as we are. Let's just be together. And Jesus wants to be together with them and not have the distractions smother the devotion. Human needs are important. Jesus, like the prophets in the Old Testament, emphasized caring for people, meeting needs, paying attention. At least twice that we know of, he fed huge crowds of people with very little hospitality. And he emphasized in the parable of the Good Samaritan that it's more important to stop and care for the person left to die by the road than it is to get to or from the religious service. That's vital. Care for the wounded. Still, in the face of greater human need, we need one thing before we do anything else. We need to take time to acknowledge the presence of Jesus, to listen before we lead. And we see so many needs, don't we? We see people in our cities living in tents, in our communities living in tents through the winter. We see people's homes and lives being destroyed by the war. We see our neighbors in the American Southeast having whole communities washed away by over a meter of rain. The needs, both needs. And we know of other needs more close to home, neighborhoods, our families, our workplaces. The need, the human need is great. The only way to keep our direction in all of the need is to begin with and often return to the presence of Christ and listen to his word. Psalm 62, verse 1 again. I wait quietly before the for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. We listen before we lead. Listen. Now, again, our goal is not to make everyone guilty and so that we start a new resolution and it lasts till 6:15 tomorrow morning. So I'm going to have regular devotions at this time. That's not the goal. The call of God is to belong to Jesus Christ. That is the call of God. And here's Martha welcoming Jesus into her house. And Mary welcoming him into her heart. That's always our foundation. And after the time of prayer where Jesus thanked the Father that he revealed the truth to the childlike, that is, to those who trust him. He said, come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That word yoke was in the language of discipleship. Of coming alongside the master, let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Listen before you begin. Listen to the Spirit. Listen to the voice of Jesus, because distractions smother devotion. Listen before you begin. What is the Spirit of God leading you? How is He prompting you? How is He directing you? And devotion is bigger than the details. She, Martha, came to Jesus and said, now, let's just identify with Martha this moment. Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister, just sister, while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, my dear Martha, the repetition of the name in that language of culture had the impact of saying, hey, my dear Martha, Martha. Just put yourself in this story for a moment. So many details. So much going on. So many things. And Martha was frustrated with the unfairness of the situation. And so she resorted to what we call I want you to know something, so I'll tell you, so you'll tell you. And maybe no one will figure out what I'm telling you. I wondered if she did this right in front of Mary, or was she more subtle? Jesus left her aside. This really stinks. My little sister's a could you just line up a bit? Maybe you try this pattern in prayer. You know, Jesus, would you tune her in? I mean, I can't do anything about it. So we not only tell Jesus what the problem is, but what to do about it. Because we know best, right? I tried this in prayer. It never works before. More often says, just really look in the mirror. But Jesus knew that the meal was important, but it could wait. And Jesus, as only Jesus can do, went straight to the heart of the man of Martha. You were worried and upset about all these things. The scholar Getzmann tells us the word worry here means to have anxious care. You're anxious about this. He says that by worrying, we protect ourselves from whatever it is that's confronting us as best we can. We think worry might just be a shield. If I'm worrying about it, then I'm about it. Protection is the sense. And worry then denies that God cares. Worry replaces trust in the presence of Jesus. Jesus said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Answer, and then, in a parable about listening to the word of God, he said, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. Fruitless. And Mungo tells us the word upset referred to being troubled or distressed. She was kind of in a frenzy. Warfield quote notes that Martha seemed to be upset that she had to do this by herself, not that she didn't get to sit at Jesus' feet, but that she had to do this by herself. It's probably small. She could have listened to him. She was doing something important. She was being hospitable. This is an act of service, but it's the will of God. There's nothing wrong with this. It's great to be a servant. Great to be an organizer. The problem wasn't her activity, it was her attitude. Active service is the will of God, and it's grounded in quiet worship of God, receiving Him. It's not comparison to Him. And Jesus leaves no doubt about His priority. He said, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Do this if you do nothing else. Mary has chosen it, and it will not be taken from her. He refused to step into the triangle. From multiple distractions to one thing that mattered. And Mary had discovered or chosen it. Originally, this word, chosen or discovered, meant to pick one thing or one person out of a multitude, a sizable number. And so, there's so much to choose from in life, isn't there? So many messages coming at us, so many needs. We need to listen before we read. Karen teaches us this one thing being concerned about, used a word we sometimes translate the good part or the lot. It was the same term used for real estate. He's using that term saying, Mary's chosen the greater of the things here. This is the best investment. But in the short term, it looks like doing that and being worried and upset about that is important, but this is the investment you start with. This, if I may, is what will build equity. This is important. This is central. Her devotion is the greatest inheritance. Her devotion is growing deeper than the details. And her rapt attention to Jesus echoes Psalm 95. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people He watches over, the flock under His care. If only you would listen to His voice today. Listen before the reading. Now, Jesus is not physically visibly present now in the same way as He was that day at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in the town of Bethany. We don't see Him. So how do we listen to Him now? Gary Thomas says he struggled to find time to be quiet. He said, I had to leave for work between 5 and 5:30 every morning. I get home at 5:30 in the evening. An hour for family dinner, an hour to help the children, and then a half hour to put everybody to bed, and then another hour to take out garbage, pay bills, answer phone calls, try to catch up on my wife's day, and that's the end. And then he said, I realized to have an hour alone with God, I'd have to get up at 4 a.m. And then for some people that works physically. For others of us, it's exhausting, and you end up breaking down. It's you're not an angel. So don't suffer from the angelic jealousy. But what do we do? He says he was able to read some in the morning before he left, and he prayed on his computer. But he said, how do I find time to really be present with Jesus? I needed a new spiritual prescription. And he said, the good thing is the struggle helped me find ways to enjoy the presence of Jesus. And he said, I noticed others were struggling too. Some get bored just sitting for an hour and reading. And their personality fights with that. Others find having a really strict protocol too heady and cerebral, and it doesn't work so well. He said, why should everybody be expected to love God the same way? Still, we want to know how to listen to God well and do this first. Here are some helpful things to engage with the scriptures. A pattern for timely God's word. First of all, start with one book of the Bible, perhaps the book of the Gospel of John. There's a slide here that's second, read out loud. If you like to pray, read out loud. Ask God for guidance. Read a few sentences. Maybe you read the Bible through every year. That's a wonderful thing to do. Keep doing that. But if you struggle to possibly read a few sentences, maybe one verse, and then reflect on one main thing, maybe one word, and write down that word, and then branch off that one word with other things that say a bit more about. For example, if you read John 1:1-5, you might get caught up on the word, word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, so like Christ, the living word. And then you notice it says, something about humans, creator, and he lives life, and his might. And keep focused. Something else to draw. You don't have to write. Maybe you don't have to make it into a pretty paragraph. It can be a sloppy diagram. It's just between you and the Lord Jesus. The point is that you listen to him and worship him, not the quiet time system. Or I think I'd carry the way to worship per system. This is what worship of the Lord Jesus. God speaks to many other ways too. He speaks to his creation, Romans 1:20. He speaks predominantly through Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1:1-3. He speaks through his word, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. He speaks to other believers. We see that in the passages on the gifts, for example, 1 Corinthians 12. He speaks to us in prayer. Psalm 3:4, 4:1, 5:3. Read Psalm 3:4-5. Listen to what he grabs. Let's take your God as a book, not static. Listen before you read. Recently, I was trying to discern and decide between three things. Three ideas. All matter to me, and where should I invest some extra time in? And I know that, like Martha, I can get distracted by too many details and distractions. And so, I've taken this to the Lord, and all of them resonate in Scripture. They're all okay ideas with God. And so, I said to Connie, would you? I need to just share this with you. She asked me some good questions to help me process it. And I kept trying to listen to the Lord. And then I noticed that one of the ideas kept fleshing out more in my mind. It was like a tree of branches were forming. This seems to be the way to go at this time. And emphasize things. Listen. Listen before you read. I'm learning this from many failures. To listen first. So I submit to you that life with Jesus is not primarily about having devotions. Hear me out. The term we created for the Bible study is there. Because we could say, okay, got that done, read scriptures, prayed. Why is that idiot driving like that? It's a disconnect there. It is about being devoted to him in all things. He said the kingdom of God is with in or among the articulate kingdom by walking with the day and day out. The kingdom, being devoted to Him, stopping to listen to Him first. I think, for example, that will illustrate the differentiation between having the worship and the devoted life. That does important, but there's a word here. When we build this new building, let's say one day we show up and say, let's pour some cement. We've got to have footing. We've got to have a floor. Tuesday, you know, I think we should frame up a wall. And Wednesday, somebody should string some wires in there somewhere. And so, of course, that wouldn't work. Instead, we go to the blueprints. We see there's an order there. There's a purpose for where things are. And so, the devoted life recognizes there's a good day. That's what Jesus in my life has needed. Go to Him to have devotions, to reorient us on where it is. But we transform our whole life. So right now, let's bring this coming week to Jesus, and let's just sit at His feet for a moment. This will be our student of prayer today. Let's start right there. You have some idea, perhaps, of what's ahead, or maybe you don't know what you're questioning. And you see many needs, and you say, Lord Jesus, help me hear you first. Help me listen to you first. Take a moment and let you pray for your neighbors, your neighborhood. Listen to the Lord, what's going on. For those who lead us, Lord, for wisdom and integrity. Lord, come in gracefully and effectively in Jesus' name. Come. We pray for Israel. We can do it for Christ in many ways to have the mercy of the attacks of the enemy. Lord, for peace. Protect the Jewish community in our country. Help us know how to be good neighbors.
the Palestinian families that are struggling today. Lord, give peace. We pray for new leaders to rise up here. Your leaders that they be able to live like every other one of Jesus, but before the church through those lives, for the believers. May we wish to ask for a prayer for something. And my breath as we sing at Jesus numbers that prayer ministry team to be here at the front of the room. For anyone who wants prayer for me, for God here, there's a big something you just make a desperate about, but it's something you want to bring to the Lord today. This is an opportunity. And be free of this. It's an opportunity. It's not a sign. Take that opportunity to if it's fit for you this morning to pray with someone, or you may want to pray with someone you play with or someone else in your group. With that life, let's worship the Lord together.